We were dwelling upon the second chapter out of the book of Daniel. So we left off speaking to you where Daniel had been praying with his three friends so that God would reveal the secret of the dream and the interpretation thereof unto him. That they desired mercies of the Lord. I was speaking to you how that likewise that many of God's dear people are brought in the same position to desire mercies of the Lord. I'm sure there are some amongst my hearers who are continually desiring that God would show mercy unto them. And now please God to reveal unto Daniel in the night vision what the secret was, of what the dream was, and the interpretation thereof. It was a matter of life and death for Daniel and his three friends, and likewise for all the wise men that were in Babylon. They were to be destroyed. They were to be cut off if they didn't know the dream and interpret it unto the king. And God knew that Daniel and his three friends likewise were under this decree of the king, and God was pleased to reveal this to Daniel at night. Oh, Daniel, may he bless the God of heaven that he had given unto him this revelation. He praised him, his mouth overflowed with gratitude unto God, because God had been so good unto him and to his three friends. Truly, he had reasons to be thankful, otherwise his life would have been cut off. And now as it was with these three friends and Daniel and all the wise men, so it is likewise with each and every one of us, my hearers. And we all are under the sentence of death. Is hanging over our heads. It was a matter of life and death for Daniel and his friends, and so it is with you and I. How many of you have any realization thereof? How many live on unconcerned and pay no attention to what should take place with them if they should suddenly have to die? It is only those who have been quickened by the Spirit of God, whose sins have been brought home to them, and who feel what great sinners they are, and that if they should die in this state, then they would be lost forever. And these creatures crying to God for mercy, hoping and praying that he will show mercy to them, and they desire that he would reveal his dear son Jesus in them. And Daniel received this revelation, and in and through this revelation, he was the means in God's hands of sparing a number of wise men's lives, and likewise his three friends and his own life. And likewise, if God should reveal unto you, seeking soul, and that precious Jesus, and he will be the only means whereby you can be saved, where you can be delivered from eternal death. And all Daniel was thankful, his heart overflowed with gratitude, and so likewise, if any soul amongst my ears should experience this, all how filled with gratitude you will be toward your heavenly benefactor, in revealing unto you that he loved you, that he gave his dear son Jesus for you. And Daniel, when he received this vision and interpretation of it, he immediately went to his friends and told them what God had done for them. And therefore they too were filled with gratitude. And when this takes place, what I've been speaking about in the life of one of God's children, they likewise run to each other. There are others that are seeking the same mercies, that are praying the same way, that are longing for the same blessings. And when one receives it, all they must go and tell each other what God has revealed unto them, how good he has been to them, and how in their distress they have been delivered. O if any of my hearers have experienced something like that, or even if it's just that while you were speaking, God was so good, in all your discouragement, in all your despondency, that He gave you a promise, and that He spoke to your heart, and when He gave you this promise, and then it was with you as it was with Daniel. And Daniel believed it, Daniel received it, and Daniel went and told his friends, and so it is when God comes, my hearers, we must believe it. Oh, just as sure and just as true that we're going to get what He promises as if we had it already, although we don't possess it. So it was with Daniel, he had such faith, because when God does something, it's true, my hearers. He makes it true. And you are given faith to believe it, and so it was with Daniel. He spake already to his friends about this wonderful revelation, and he was confident that what God had given him was the dream and was the interpretation of it. And now we find Daniel speaking to the honor and to the glory of God. He begins to speak and says that it is He that changes the times and the seasons, and He sets up kings and rebuilds them. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what goes on in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him. Oh, I bless Thee, O God of my fathers, he says, that Thou hast given unto me wisdom and knowledge, and that Thou hast revealed unto us the secret that we have desired of You. You see, Daniel includes his three friends in this. He includes that they likewise were seeking his face for this secret. And he says, what we have desired from thee, that thou hast revealed unto us. Or he included them in it. He did not forget his three friends who labored at the throne of grace with himself. But he speaks wonderful words, my friends. He says, it is He that changes times and the seasons. I was thinking about that, how true those words are. Oh, for some of us, maybe, that there have been times of prosperity, times when everything went good, and we had a good time, good things in this life. But there are some, I think, of my elder hearers who remember that there was a time of poverty, that there wasn't too much work, so that we couldn't get any work. Many were on relief. Many had no money. Many knew not what would become of them and their families. All those times are in the hands of God. He likewise gives these times, and He changes the times of the seasons. All many have been healthy and well for a long time. Families never had any affliction, blessed by God abundantly. And then there came a time, there came a season in the hands of God. And that affliction entered the family. Sickness came upon this one, upon that one. Then there was maybe a time of bereavement. God took away the prophet and life. Oh, He is the one that changes the times and the seasons. Oh, my hearers, it is likewise so in the spiritual sense. And there was a time in with you, as it was with me, that we knew not God. We loved the world. We followed after the plagues of things of time and sense. We found out of those things and would have continued on in them and perished in them. But there came a time, a season, never to be forgotten by whoever experiences it, but when God came with His Spirit into the heart of such a sinner, and that sinner began to realize that he had a God to deal with against whom he had sinned. All sin became sin for such a creature, and they could not go on any longer in their sins. You know, sometimes, or are you still in the sins? You're still going on in the sins? You're still enjoying yourself in the world and the pleasures thereof? I'm sad to see the condition, my hearers. should death overtake you in that condition where God is inevitable, believing. Oh, there must be a change in your life. There must be a season in your life where you can say, "Listen, let God into my soul, and God bring me back into himself." And all that time and that season, whoever experiences it can never forget a time of love, a time when they walked and they talked with God and enjoyed so much of his fellowship and his communion. Or then there came a time and a season when it all went away, when everything became dark again, when everything dried up inside, and when those things that you enjoyed so much, the day you were taken away, you found no more enjoyment. But in the means of grace and prayer and reading, everything seemed to have been gone. All that time, what a season this is to go through life. All the time this is, my friends, when you are driven into the wilderness, and your soul is like a wilderness too. It is him that changes the times and the seasons. And that time comes for each and every one of God's children, so if you have to say this time and this season, all of Jesus is revealed when he is revealed unto his soul as the only way, the truth, and the life. When he manifests himself in all his glory to that soul and speaks whole and pardons that soul from all its sins. Oh, I think this son saw me saying, "Oh, I wish I would pass through that sea. I wish that time would come to me. Oh, how then my mouth would overflow with the praises of God." Just as it was by Daniel, he couldn't do anything else but praise this God who had revealed this unto him. And it is God who revealeth these things unto his children. Again, Daniel goes on to speak and says, "And he it is that setteth up kings and removeth them." And we see this so clearly and so plainly even in our own country. And God removed our president just recently and set another one on the throne. He it is that rules and governs this great world. He says, "By me kings rule and princes decree justice, and all the nobles of the earth, whoever they may be, that they rule under him." And he says, "Likewise, God revealeth the deep and the secret things." All my hearers, has God ever revealed unto you the depth of the fall of Adam? Has he ever led you into that deep? How deep we have sunken, how far we have come away from God. Oh, that there isn't anything in us that ever would be turned back to God. Oh, that we have been brought into such a position by this fall that we never can return or restore ourselves to the favor of God. Oh, when he begins to reveal these new things, he likewise cuts into the soul of the sinner and reveals what you and I have done against him. Oh, he reveals the depth of sin, the depth of iniquity, how strong it is, how powerful it is. All these depths, my hearers, that God reveals only to his dear children. He gives unto them to understand that they are nothing else but corrupt and unclean creatures in his holy sight. Has he ever revealed these depths to you, my ears? Has he ever revealed the depth of the blessing that Christ gave to this world? Oh, how he humbled himself unto the bitter and shameful death of the cross, so that sinners like you and I may be lifted up out of the depths of the fall and be restored back into the favor of God. Oh, what a depth this precious Jesus entered into when he came into this world, my heavens. Oh, God, I will lead you into that. Oh, you wonder and amazement at the love and the pity and the mercy of the Savior and what he went through for that for sinners. Has God ever led you into the depths of his covenant? All they that fear him, he that is coming to them. Oh, as you enter into this, in giving you likewise to believe, you have an interest in the benefits of this covenant. Oh, he has given unto you faith, hope, love, has he given unto you likewise pardon, justification, sanctification, all benefits of this glorious covenant in which he uncalls, in which he reveals in the hearts of his children. He gives them to believe that they are in this covenant. He gives them an interest in it by making known in their hearts and these benefits that they receive in this life. And all this covenant is so stable and so sure. Oh, if we have an interest in one benefit of it, we are safe for time and eternity. All he reveals are the deep and the secret things. All our viewers, I think we should keep us under this little text, but that is the purpose of our Bible gathering, our Bible lesson. That this man Daniel, he was led further to glorify this great God and speak well of him. And finally, we find him going to this man, Arioch, who had been given that degree to kill all the wise men in Babylon. And Daniel went to him and told him that he would rule over the king, and that he would make known unto him his dream and the interpretation thereof. We see Daniel's faith here. We see how positive he was that if this man brought him to the king, he was fully able to describe to the king that dream that he had. And this Arioch, oh, he was so glad, you may be sure. And when this man Daniel came to him, oh, he didn't want to go out and kill all the wise men in Babylon. Now, that was an awful position to be in, and a murderous job to do. And therefore, when Daniel came to him, he brought Daniel in with haste to the king. And he said unto the king, I have found a man who is one of the captives of Judah, and he will give you the interpretation. So he was brought in before the king, Daniel. And the king, he begins to question him for whether he was able to give him the interpretation of his dream. And we find Daniel speaking so wonderfully again about his God in heaven. He says unto the king, and the wise men, and the astrologers, and the Chaldeans, and the magicians, and they were able to give you the interpretation of this dream. He's speaking to the king, telling him that he shouldn't have these kind of men hanging around him and putting his faith and trust in them, because they couldn't help him one bit with this interpretation. All he needs the king away from all these creatures that he had faith in, and he leads him to God. And he said unto him, but there is a God in heaven, he says, who reveals secrets. And he is, and has revealed that unto me. All he gives that God the praise and the glory of receiving such a revelation. He said it was not for any wisdom in him that God had given this unto him, but it was for those that would give him the interpretation thereof. It was for himself and for his three friends and for all the wise men in Babylon, and that God had given him this secret revealed in the night vision. Oh, this good God, he came in the right time for Daniel and his friends and for the wise men in Babylon, or otherwise they all would have perished. So it is in grace. God comes when no other being and no other creature can help us. And then he steps in and he reveals his might and his power. And this God in heaven, Daniel says, and he reveals the secrets. And then Daniel says and that he would give him the interpretation of this dream. All he wanted, this king, to worship this God, to serve this God, as he and his three friends did. And therefore he spake so loud before the king. And now he begins to tell the king of this dream that he had. He said, "Thou, O king, was upon thy bed, and the vision came into thy mind. What shall take place hereafter?" And he said, "Thou sawest in thy dream a great image. The brightness of it was excellent, and the form of it was terrible." And he says, "The head of it was made of gold." And he says, "The breast and the arms of it were made of silver." And he says, "And the belly and the thigh was made of brass." And he says, "The legs were made of iron. And the feet were made of a mixture of clay and iron." And he says, "You saw in your dream a stone cut out by no hand whatsoever. And this stone came and smote this image. And when it smote this image, well, this image fell down in the heap. The gold, the silver, and the brass, and the clay, and the iron were all mixed together, and it was cast away just as if the wind blew it from the threshing floor."
Jewish nation. And this Roman Empire was
exhibited in this image as a lion, but it had feet which were of clay and of iron mixture. After a long time, this Roman Empire became weaker, and it was set up into 10 different nations. About this, it became very weak. Some of these nations were as strong as iron, and the other ones were weak as clay. And therefore, at the time of this empire, this king seen, cut out of this mountain, that would come, and it would smash this empire, and it would raise up a kingdom, which would be an everlasting kingdom. And this stone is considered to be Christ Jesus and his kingdom. It was cut without any heads, which teaches us that no human being commenced this kingdom, and that it is a spiritual kingdom, and that it was erected here upon earth by God himself, and is raised up in the hearts of sinners by his Holy Spirit. And this kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And this kingdom will never be destroyed. And this kingdom can never be failed. And this kingdom shall triumph over all kingdoms. For there is a time coming, my hearers, when Jesus Christ shall put down all rule, all principality, and all power, and all enemies shall submit unto him. And then the fulfillment of this dream shall be fully accomplished. This dream then extends unto the demolishing of this entire world. And that's how long this dream, which the king was given to see, would last. Oh, how wonderful was God in revealing unto this king this dream that he could not just live out, but that he wanted interpreted. That the Lord hath heard and revealed this unto him. And he, while he was listening, was so convinced that Daniel was telling the truth that he never answered him. He never interrupted him. He never questioned him once upon what he was saying. But he fully received what Daniel was speaking about. Oh, I marvel at this, my goodness. You know what God wants to, and when he uses this message spoken by his servant, and then there is no objection. There is anyone who can say anything against it, because it is he that is speaking by his Spirit. And his Spirit speaks the truth. Has he ever spoken that way to you? And this king had nothing to say. And he didn't get angry when Daniel said to him that there would be a kingdom that would be an everlasting kingdom, because he was trying to make his kingdom that way. And his kingdom was due to fall. But he received it as a divine oracle. And what does this king do? After Daniel had revealed this to him, and then he fell down on his face, and he worshipped Daniel. And he commanded that sweet oil should be brought unto him, and that they should offer an oblation unto him. And this great king falling down before this man Daniel. Oh, he forgot himself. He didn't know what he was doing. He really thought Daniel was a divine person. We don't read, of course, that Daniel said anything to him about this, but I do believe that Daniel would not let him worship him. But we read likewise of Peter, who was called to the house of Cornelius. And when he came there, Cornelius fell on his knees before him and did reverence to him. But Peter raised him up again and said, I am a man, the same as you are. Worship God. And I give Daniel directed this king likewise. For in the very next verse, we have a definition that he did so, where he begins to say, truly, your God is a God above all gods, who can reveal secrets and who has revealed this dream and this secret and given us the interpretation thereof. And he commended that this God of Daniel, and Daniel was pleased likewise to speak unto this king. him, and that God revealed this unto him, the one would come to pass in the latter days. And now this man, the king, he brought forward such rewards unto Daniel. He gave him likewise to be chief over all the city of Babylon. He set him over all the wise men, over all the counselors, and he gave him many diligences. And Daniel went in and spake unto the king, and he likewise placed these three friends of Daniel over the government in the city of Babylon. And Daniel did not forget his three friends, who were likewise praying and interceding to God for this revelation. And therefore they likewise were rewarded with him in this respect. And Daniel then became a very wealthy and a very influential man, and was very beneficial to the government of this kingdom for the Jewish people who were captives in the city of Babylon. And now we find that he found great favor in the sight of this king, and likewise his three friends. And now we come to the third chapter, and where we find this king after speaking so wonderfully about this God, and realizing that there was no God like this God, he begins to set up a great image. He forgot all about that God. Never thought about the God. He sets up a great image in the plain of Dura. And he built this image of gold. Its height was somewhere around 90 feet. And the circumference of this image was about 10 feet. It wasn't too wide, but it was very high. And it was made of gold. It was hollow. It wasn't solid gold. It was plated gold. And he set this up outside of the city of Babylon in a plain nearby. Some say that this image was a type of the God that he worshipped, the God Bel. The God Bel, who was signified by the sun. And therefore, he built this image in this way. Other commentaries say he did this because that the people of his dominion were beginning to think that he was becoming a Jew because he was favoring them so, and he had these men ruling in the government, and therefore he set this image up for himself so that they would worship him. And now after he had this image raised up, he sent out word throughout all the provinces over which he ruled that all the people that were in the government of those provinces, as the governors and the rulers, and they all were called to the dedication of this image. He had set this up for this purpose, and now the time came to dedicate it. And all these people obeyed. They came from all the provinces of his dominion. They all came to this plain, and all stood before this great image. Now he had given the commandment that when the music began to play, then everybody should bow down before this image. And this image was a type then of an idol god. And my hearers, we find that when they began to play this music, that all the people bowed down before it. They all were weak, except three men, the three friends of death. Now this teaches us, my hearers, that we as creatures are so accustomed to follow the multitude. Now this was an idol. And how many idols do not you and I have? How many things do we not bow down to? We all have the idol self, and that is a great idol that sits upon the throne of our hearts. And we do anything for ourselves. satisfied as enough with the desires of our nature. Oh, what do not creatures do to gain riches, to gain honor, to gain wisdom, to gain popularity in this world? They will go to any extent and do almost anything to obtain wealth, to be somebody in this world. They'll bow down to almost anything if they may obtain their objective. And many people, they worship the creature. What will not a man do for a woman that he loves? And vice versa, what will a woman do for a man that she loves? Or they will do almost anything just to gratify the flesh and the desires of it. Or how many do not believe and forsake even as the true religion? Some may go to another religion. Some, they don't go to any religion anymore and begin to live a wicked and a sinful life and care not about anything. And just for the sake of the man or for the woman who has such influence over them. Oh, how many idols are there not in this world that are being bowed down to? Oh, what do not people worship, my hearers? And if we worship anything outside of God, it is an idol. And God forbids us to worship idols in the second commandment. Oh, so many, my hearers. But we find even religious people. Some they idolize a minister. Some they idolize maybe an elder or somebody that's an officer in the church. They make an idol of such a person. How many, even in other faiths, have not idols that they worship? They have idols of Jesus, they have idols of Mary, they have idols of saints, they bow there before them. All idolatry, my hearers. And because others do that, so many go along with them. How many today that do not bow down before the idol of insurance? How many don't bow down before an idolized union? How many don't belong to organizations? They have various benefits in them, and they help them out when they're in trouble. Or they bow down before these things. They go along with these things. They don't see anything wrong with them at all. My hearers, if I was the one to try to explain all the idols that people are worshiping and bowing down to and giving way to, there wouldn't be one of us that would go free, myself included. And we are all worshipers in this respect, of creatures and of things that are sinful in the sight of God. But now here we have three young men that didn't go along with this bound down before this hour. Oh, I would like to continue with this. This is such a wonderful thing. These three young men in the Eastern country, away from their own country, they didn't have anybody to tell them what to do. And all of us who would just fall down, they didn't have to worship, they didn't have to pray to it, they didn't have to serve the title, all of us would bow down on it, and we could all down. And they could have done this probably, even praying that God would forgive them if they did that, because they were in this country. But no, the principle of religion in their heart and their conscience would not allow them to do that. But they made up their mind that they were not going to do it. Regardless, even if they would be cast into the very fiery furnace which the king threatened upon those that did not bow before him. In the face of all that, these three young men stood firm. They would not bow, and they did not bow. Next week, the Lord willing, we will pick up our lesson from this point. My time is gone. May the Lord bless that the people left of this day be your immortal souls. That's all.